Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. We're going to continue our topic of Tosefes by discussing probably the primary topic of Tosefes, which is Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So we're going to prepare for Yom Kippur as well by discussing this topic. All right? So the Hakdama is just the Pasuk in the Torah, the Pasuk in Parshas Emor, which tells us, V'nisem es nafshol seichem b'sish alachodesh ba'erev, meherav erev tish b'suit Shabbat lechem. That we're supposed to afflict ourselves, which inui is usually interpreted as a prohibition of achila and shesia. We have to fast. And we're supposed to do that b'sisha lachodesh bo'erev, on the ninth at night, me'erev ad erev, from night to night, tish b'su shabbatachem, we're supposed to have our Shabbos. So this phrase of b'sisha lachodesh bo'erev me'erev ad erev gets a lot of press because it's kind of complicated. It's kind of kind of ambiguous what exactly it means. So it's going to become one of the central sources for this mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the mitzvah to add onto the day of Yom Kippur. We discussed in the previous year the concept of Tosefes Shabbos, but the truth is that Tosefes Shabbos really is kind of like an outgrowth of the primary mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So if we were really, really, really doing the sugya of Tosefes, we would have started with Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So kind of let's kind of work backwards, I guess, a little bit. All right. So what really is the source for the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? So there's a number of different Gemaras that talk about this. The first that we'll mention is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, and this comes up as well in Yuma Pei Aleph Amid Beis. This is a Gemara that we mentioned in the last year as well, where we have a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael as to the source for Tosefes, the idea of Mosif in Mechol al HaKodesh. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that the source is Bacharish Vakatzir Tishbos, a pasuk in the context of Shvias. So the way that Rabbi Akiva understands the pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva says that the concept of Mosif in Mechol al HaKodesh is derived from Bacharish Vakatzir Tishbos. We're supposed to add on to the seventh year, supposed to not plow at the end of the sixth year, and supposed to not harvest at the beginning of the eighth. Rabbi Ishmael disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. He interprets Bachar Shavak Katzir Tishbos differently, and instead he has a different drasha from the concept of Mosif in Mechol al HaKodesh, the principle of Tosefes. And indeed, his pasuk is the pasuk with which we began, V'ini semes nafsho seichem b'sisha. So let's just review that drasha one more time. This is in source number 3 on your sheets. V'ini semes nafsho seichem b'sisha, yachol b'sisha, we might think that you should fast on the 9th. Tamad omer bo'erev, you're supposed to fast at night. Ibo erev yachol nishet hashach, maybe we would have thought only from tzitz hakuchavim and onwards. Tamad omer b'sisha, you're supposed to do something on the 9th. Ha-ketzad, so kind of what's the pshara, what's the compromise? How is it some of the 9th and some of the 10th? So maschil umisane mibe'od yom. You begin to have inoy, you begin to afflict yourself by ceasing from eating and drinking already on the 9th. Malam eitche mosif in mechol ala kodesh. Ein li ala bechnisas obitziyas ominayin tamadomar me'erev. Ad erev. So you're supposed to do it on the first erev, the first night, the night going into the 10th, and then the second night, the night going into the 11th. In li ala yom hakipurim shabbosos minayin tamal nomer tish besu yamim tovim minayin tamal nomer shabbatchem haketzad komakom sheyash bo shvus mosifin meichol ala kodesh. So the rest of the braisa is that that this idea of Tosefes applies not only to Yom Kippur, but also to Shabbos and Yontif. Wherever we have Shavuos, wherever we have the obligation to rest, we have the obligation to be Mosif, to add onto that time period of rest. So that's one source in Chazal, this the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, that the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim comes from the pasuk of B'sisha Lachodesh Bo'erev, the mixing of the 9th and the 10th, means you carry over some of the 10th onto the 9th. Okay. There's also a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, which I suggested to see, only if you had time, which also heavily suggests that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Basically, the Gemara there is trying to show that the Bryce is trying to show that while there seems to be a concept of Tosefes, it's not subject to punishment. It's not considered a prohibition. So that's why the Gemara says, Yachol yehei anush al Tosefes malacha. You might have thought that you should be punished for doing malacha during the time period of Tosefes. Talmud Lomar v'chol ha'nefesh asher ta'asa kumalacha be'etzem hayom hazeh. That it's only on etzem hayom hazeh al itzumo shel yom anushkaris ve'ino anushkaris al tusefas malacha. The punishment of karis applies to doing malacha on the tenth itself, not to the time period of tusefas. Then the Gemara says the same thing for what's called tosefes inui, for the additional time not only of malacha but also of fasting, where the Gemara says yachol lo yeh anush karis hatosefes malacha ve anush karis hatosefes inui. Maybe you should be punished for tosefes inui, meaning if you eat and drink during the time period of tosefes. Talmud lomar ki chol hanefesh asher lo seinu be'etzem hayom hazeh v'nichrisa al itzumo shel yom anush karis ve'ino anush karis hatosefes inui. And then the continuation of the Gemara goes on to show that not only is there not a punishment, but there's also no azhara, there's no warning in the Chumash. And the implication of that sugya is that while there is a mitzvah to do tosefes for Yom HaKippurim, there is no prohibition and there's certainly no punishment. So that is another braisa that suggests that there is a mitzvah of tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Okay? So the Rishonim all agree that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Almost 99% of the Rishonim think that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah de'oraisa. There is a Meiri in Maseches Beitza that thinks that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is only a mitzvah midrabanan, and he thinks that the pasuk, the psukim that the Gemara darshins from, is just an asmach or just an asmachta. But that is very much a shitas yachin. 99% of the Rishonim believe that the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah de'oraisa. So before getting to the Shitas HaRambam, how the Rambam deciphers this sugya, which is very, very intriguing, because he has really very significant chidushim in this sugya. Before getting there, I want to discuss a little bit more about the mechayiv of Tosefes. Why is it, or what's the basis for this mitzvah of Tosefes? Last time around, when we discussed Tosefes Shabbos, we discussed a little bit the nature of the Tosefes. Right? Is the Tosefes the extension of the Kedushas Hayom? Does it extend Shabbos onto Friday? Or is it just, it's not an extension of Shabbos onto Friday, it's just telling you to extend the Isur Malacha onto Friday. So don't do Malacha on Friday, as opposed to saying don't do Malacha on Shabbos, but Shabbos starts early. Right, and we said that might be the Nekudas Machlokas between the two Deos and Tosfos as to whether you can have a Suda Shabbos early. If you think it's extending Shabbos, you could have your Suda Shabbos early. If you think it's just extending the Malacha and it's not yet really Shabbos, then you can't have your Suda Shabbos. So that was a question as to the nature of the Tosefes. But what about why it is? What's the purpose of the Tosefes? So here I want to bring to your attention a striking source, which is in source number 5, the Shilta Giborim in Yuma Bezum and Bez, and the Dapei Arif quotes the Riaz. Okay? So the Riaz was one of the Rishonim, and he says like this, Umahu HaTosefes, what is the Tosefes? She Yizaher min HaSafik, you should be careful about a Safik, V'lo Yaseh Malacha bin HaShmashos, and don't come to do Malacha during Bein Hashmashos, during the twilight zone, during the twilight period, ela maskil shavisaso mibeod yom. Rather, you should begin your rest from earlier on in the day. V'chein be'erev yom ha'kipurim, madikin es haner, umaskilin his'anos mibeod yom. Why? K'dei sheyifrosh min ha'safik b'chol kocho. So that you stay as far away as possible from safik. What do you see from this riaz? Why is it that we are obligated to extend in some fashion, whether it be the day itself or whether it be an Isser, why are we obligated to practice the Isurim that we're going to, that we await even earlier on? Why do we have to extend them? What do you see from this Riyaz?
It seems to be out of precaution.
Good, exactly, Gabe. It's out of precaution. Because during Bein HaShmashos, it's going to be Aser to do, right? Because there's a Safik as to whether it's Shabbos, so it's Aser to do Malacha during Bein HaShmashos, right? So says the Riaz, what's the purpose of Tosefes? Why do you have to stop even more so than just Bein HaShmashos? Because you shouldn't come close, right? Don't come all the way up to the fence. Stop a little bit before the fence, yeah? So the demarcation is Bein HaShmashos, that's the line, You can't cross that line. Don't come close to it. Right? It's kind of like at a traffic light, right? So where you have to stop is always like a few feet before the actual intersection, right? Because you have to create space before the danger zone, so to speak, right? So that's exactly the mashal. Create some space before the danger zone. Before you come to Minash Mashos, have a little bit of a precaution. Okay. So this is very interesting. This is taking a very pragmatic approach to the idea of Tosefes. Fundamentally, there's not... Okay, like, you know, it's really an external value, right? It's the value of making sure that you don't come close to Isur. Right? There's nothing intrinsically significant about extending the day of Shabbos. It's just that Shabbos carries along with it a very severe Isur, and therefore you should make sure not to come close to it. And he says the same thing about Yom Kippur, yeah? In source number 6, Rabbeinu Manoach, so Rabbeinu Manoach also takes a very similar approach, and he actually thinks that there's a ramification to it. So Rabbeinu Manoach says as follows: Lefisha Tosefes Zeh Shemosifin Michol HaLakodesh Inu Ela Bein Hashmashos Shalosh Hu Aser Dehava LeSfika DeOraisa. Only Bein Hashmashos is really Aser, because that's a Safik DeOraisa. Umishum Hachi Behefsik Muat Shiyavsik HaAdam Kodam Bein Hashmashos Shel Chi'i Uvishahaya Muetes Uvishihia Muetes Sheyeshe Achar Bein Hashmashos Shel Asiri Sagilei Kadeshalo Yikonis the Beis HaSafik. Says Rabbeinu Manoach, the whole purpose of the Tosefes is exactly as the Riaz said. It's to, as Gabe said also, to exercise caution, right? You want to make sure not to come close to that fence of Bein HaShemashos. So says Rabbeinu Manoach, that being the case, as long as you stop any time period before the Bein HaShemashos, you add any amount of time, then you've fulfilled the idea of Tosefes. Because the whole idea of Tosefes was to add some time to Bein HaShemashos. Doesn't really matter how much. As long as it's some, then you're going to ensure that you're not going to come, that you're not going to do the Isser within Bein HaShemashos. Yeah? So the nafkamina that Rabbeinu Manoach derives from this pragmatic approach to Tosefes is that there really shouldn't be any requisite amount of time that you have to do for the Tosefes. Any amount of time would suffice. Because any amount of time adds on to that fence, it brings you back a little bit, and then ensures that you're not going to cross the boundary line. So, a different approach, however, that we could take to Tosefes, and I believe that the Rav developed this approach, but I have to check back. A different approach that we could suggest for Tosefes is that it's not as much the pragmatic precaution that's the mechayiv of the Tosefes, but rather that the Torah wants mankind, it wants us as human beings to initiate the day that we're awaiting. Right? That day is a calendar day. It's going to take place on its own. Yeah, so let's say, for example, Shabbos, right? Shabbos, as the Gemara says, is kavu v'kaima. Every seventh day is going to be Shabbos. Right? Shabbos, then the week, then Shabbos, then the week. It doesn't matter. That's built into the fabric of the world. Yeah? So whether we acknowledge that or not, it's going to happen. But the mitzvah of Tosefes is to inject, almost like, it's similar to Kiddush, because Kiddush is also, from one perspective, man's being Mekadesh the day. So Tosefes is also, it's bringing the day on early, right? It's an exhibiting of a type of Zrizos, an anticipation for the day, and initiating the onset of the day. Okay? So if that's the case, then we could explain that relates much more to one's relationship to the Kedushas Hayom, right? That you're trying to bring the day early. And perhaps that would cohere better with the approach that Tosefes is about extending the day itself, the Kedushas Hayom. Remember, we're dealing with two questions here. The first question is, what's the nature of the Tosefes? Does it extend the Kedushas Hayom into the previous day? Or does it only extend a certain din and just tells you to practice that din on the day before, but it doesn't extend the next day early? That's one question. The second question is the Mechayev question. Namely, are we doing Tosefes because we want to ensure that we don't come to a case of Safik Iser? Or are we doing Tosefes in order to exhibit anticipation and initiative? So it may be that the second approach to the Mechayiv may cohere better with the approach that we're trying to, that Tosefes in its nature extends the Kedushas Hayom. Right, you add Kedushas Hayom to the previous day. By doing that, you're exhibiting that that personal initiative in bringing on the day. Okay? Clear? Brian? Yeah? Ilan? Okay, Gishmak. Okay, so that was really just to kind of fill out some of the Hakdama. For the remaining time, I really want to focus in on Shitas HaRambam. Okay, so the Rambam's position on Tosefes in general, and also on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim in particular, is fascinating and deserves a lot of attention. Yes, Brian.
Can you 30 seconds review Rav Soloveitchik's Shita again?
Yeah, don't quote me on the Rav, because I'm not sure that he said that. I have to check back. But let's say we're suggesting that Tosefes could be less about ensuring that you don't come to a case of Safik Yisur, and more about a positive, exhibiting anticipation and initiative in bringing on the next day. Okay? And we're saying that that coheres well with the approach that Tosefes is about infusing the previous day with the Kedusha Sayon, because that's exactly what you're trying to do. Yeah, Ilan.
Wouldn't it be hard to argue that Tosefes is Doraisa if the whole point of it is to make sure that we don't come into a place of suffering?
Yeah, so that would register on the list of what's called like a Geder de Oraisa. We have some Isurim that are considered de Oraisa fences. So I'll give you a great example, okay? So let's say you have the Isur of Chametz on Pesach, right? Some Rishonim think, we also have the Isur, what's called Bal Yeroi Bal Yimatze. Maybe we'll have a chance to discuss that later this year. Bal Yeroi Bal Yimatze is the Isur to possess Chametz on Pesach, right? So not only is it prohibited to eat Chametz on Pesach, but it's also prohibited to possess it. That's why we all sell our Chametz prior to Pesach, yeah? So Ilan, some of the Rishonim are of the opinion that the whole Isur to possess Chametz is really just a fence around the Isur to eat Chametz. Because if you don't have chametz in your possession, then you won't come to eat it. So one of the Achronim of Yosef Engel collects like a number of these different instances in which the Torah actually has Isurim de Oraisa that are meant they're intended as a fence around other Isurim. So according to this approach, if Tosefes is the Oraisa and it also is meant to ensure the Safik, so that I think that this should probably go on the list. Unless you think that Tosefes, right, you could view it differently also, because Tosefes would be a mitzvah, right? So the Torah would be obligating you, I guess, to draw that extended line, to erect that fence. But it certainly would be related to that, to that discussion. Okay?
Got it. And just one more quick thing.
Yeah.
In terms of, Rabbi Nitam's, definition of time for banished mashas, how would that fit into this in terms of wouldn't the timeline be very very different then?
Well, yeah, but either way, all the Rishonim are going to have a banished mashos period, right? So during that banished mashos, it's going to be Aser, and then you'd have to do Tosefes beforehand.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's discuss Shitas HaRambam. Okay. So let's turn to source number 7, everybody inside. Yeah? Actually, let's do source... Yeah, okay. So the Rambam says in source number 7, Mitzvah saseh acheres yash b'yom ha-kippurim v'hi lishbos bo me'achilo u'shesia shnei marti anu es nafsho seichem mipiash me'olamdu inoi shuhu l'nefesh zeh ha-tzom v'chol ha-tzom bo kiyem mitzvah saseh. Okay? V'chol ha-ocha v'shose bo bitel mitzvah saseh v'over alo saseh shnei mar ki'chol ha-nefesh asher v'osei unem ba'etam me'om hazeh v'nechersa. So the Rambam has Hilchos Shvisas Aser. The Rambam dedicates a whole section of Zmanim to the Halachos of Yom HaKippurim, and he calls it Shvisas Aser. And in the first parak, he outlines what the Isurim of the day are. So he first tells us that there's an Isur Malacha, and then he also says that there's Mitzvah Saseh Acheres to be lish bos bo me achilo shesia, that you should rest from eating and drinking on the day of Yom HaKippurim. And that's what the Torah has in mind when it says, v'inisem es nasho seichem, that there's a mitzvah to afflict yourself. What it really means is that there's a mitzvah to rest from eating and drinking. Okay? Then two halachos later, the Rambam says, this Rambam really gets a ton of press, and that's what we're going to deal with. Kishim shashvus melacha bo, bein bayom bein balayla, kach shvus li'inoi bein bayom bein balayla. The same way that the obligation to rest from malacha applies to both day and night, so too the obligation to cease or refrain from eating and drinking applies to both day and night. Right, that's what distinguishes Yom HaKippurim from other ta'anios. Other ta'anios, you can eat at night, but you can't eat during the day. Yom HaKippurim, you have to stop eating already at night. Here the Rambam introduces the din of Tosefes. Tells us you have to add on to the day, both in the beginning and at the end. Shneamar, v'inisem es nafsho seichem b'sishal lachodesh ba'erev. He quotes for us the pasuk with which we began. Klomar, haschil latzum v'lehisanos me'erev tisha hasamuch la'asiri, v'chim b'yitzia shoha b'inu yom me'at, milele acharas hasamuch la'asiri, shneamar me'erev ad erev tish b'su shabbatichem. The Rambam says that there's an obligation to begin fasting and to begin afflicting oneself already from the 9th leading into the 10th, and also from the 10th leading into the 11th. This is the Rambam's codification of the mitzvah of Tosefes. So the Nosei Kalim and the commentaries on the Rambam, they note a number of striking things about this Rambam. So you guys tell me, you fill in the words for the Nosei Kalim. What is striking about the Rambam? What does the Magen Mishnah point out? Yeah, Gabe.
I was going to bounce it back to that he seems to be not solely focused on being cautionary, because he's also adding to the end. It seems like the initial source that...
Okay, but that could also be out of precaution, because you're not allowed to do malacha during the Bein HaShemashos at the end either, right? Meaning on either end you would have to...
I guess the initial source was seemed more focused on the beginning
then. Yeah, right. He quotes the beginning first. I hear that. Yeah, Ilan.
The Rambam only talks about adding beginning to fast on the 9, but he doesn't mention anything about Shvi'is of Malacha.
Yeah, very good. Okay. So Ilan points out one of the main points, which is that the Rambam seems to hold that this mitzvah of Tosefes for Yom HaKippurim applies specifically to the Inui aspect of Yom Kippur, to the refraining from eating and drinking, but not to Malacha. Because he quotes the Pasuk V'inisem, and then he says, Klomar haschil latzum ulehisanos me'erev tisha hasamuch la'asiri. You have to fast and do Inui. But he never mentions that you would have to add on to the time period of Malacha. And that's the point that the Magen Mishnah raises. Yeah. Then in addition, another significant point in the Rambam is that this is the only place where the Rambam discusses Tosefes. The Rambam never codifies a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yontif. He only codifies a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippur. So if we take those two facts together, on the one hand, the Rambam distinguishes between Malacha and Inui, and on the other hand, he quotes Tosefes only with respect to Yom Kippur, so we reach a real conundrum. There's a quandary here. Because what exactly is the Rambam's source? Where does the Rambam get this from? If you go through the different available sources, everyone has trouble. Moshe, I'll get to you in a second, okay? Yuma Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, which is source number 2 on your source sheets, yeah? Where the Gemara tried to go out of its way to prove that there was no punishment for Tosefes, but the implication was that there's a mitzvah. So in that Gemara, did the Gemara discuss only Inui, only Malacha, or both? Moshe.
It discussed both, but that was kind of my question.
Oh, okay, so what's your question?
How does it discuss both? I would think that it could be this could be where the Rambam gets it from, meaning the pasuk, not the Gemara, because the Gemara says, like, I think it's like four lines from the bottom. Tam lomar
become like a low tasu, but etzema yom is that. Never mind, I thought Ali Tsumo Shell Yom, who. So I thought that was talking about the Inoue, because that's what we talk about later.
The same, right.
Like, type of thing, but etzema yom is that.
Yeah, exactly. So we use the same drasha for both Inoue and for Malacha, right? So there in that Gemara Pei Aleph and Aleph, whatever you're going to say about one, you should say about the other, right? If you're going to say that the Gemara implies that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes, just there's no punishment for it, so then the Gemara says that not only about Inoue, but also about Malacha. So that's very difficult for the Rambam, because the Rambam, if we're taking the Rambam in his word, as the Magi Mishnah does, that Tosefes applies only to Inoue, so then that Gemara is not going to work. In addition, if you go to Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, what's the problem? What's the problem there? How come Rabbi Yishmael can't be the source for the Rambam? Or seemingly? The Gemara Nash Hashanah, number 3. Right? That's the most appealing one, because Rabbi Yishmael quotes the Pasuk, V'yinisa mesnaf shoseichem b'sisha, which is exactly the Pasuk that the Rambam quotes. But there's a big problem. What's the big problem? Yeah, Ilan.
It ends up quoting that it's also the mitzvah by Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah, the Rambam dropped the whole second half of the Braisa. Right? Rabbi Yishmael says there's a mitzvah Tosefes for Yom Kippur. Great. Okay, V'inisem. Okay. But then he says also Shabbos and Yom Tovim. The Rambam never quotes that. So much so that the Magen Mishnah thinks that Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yom Tov for the Rambam is Midrabanan. The Kasef Mishnah thinks that according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah whatsoever of Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yontif. It doesn't exist. Even Midrabanan. Unbelievable. So, we're stuck, right? The Gemara Yuma Pei Aleph didn't work because it quoted Malacha too. Rabbi Yishmael doesn't work because he quotes Shabbos and Yontif, not only Yom Kippur. So, what's going on here? Yeah? Okay, so let's consider two answers, okay? One answer is of the Lechem Mishnah. It's not on your source sheet, but the Lechem Mishnah says something very creative. Okay, Lechem Mishnah says, generally when you have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, you should hold like Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So that would mean that the Rambam should have paskin like Rabbi Akiva. However, the Lechem Mishnah says, clearly the Rambam is quoting Rabbi Yishmael's drasha, V'yinisem esnaf shoseichem, teaching you Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So why does he paskin like Rabbi Yishmael against Rabbi Akiva, if in general you're supposed to hold like Rabbi Akiva? Says the Lechem Mishnah, it's because we have other Gemaras in Shas that make it very clear that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim midoraisa. There's a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Ches, which both make it very clear that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim midoraisa. Have you ever heard of the principle Mutav Sheyihyu Shogigin Ve'al Yihu Mizidin? It's better for people to be mistaken or, have a lack of knowledge than for them to do something purposefully wrong, right? So the Gemara quotes there in Beitza and Shabbos, it says that women used to eat all the way up until Yom Kippur. They didn't do any Tosefes for eating and that no one said anything that no one said anything to them. And it uses that as a proof for Mutzav Shiyu Shogigin Vayu Mezidin. But it also says there that clearly the mitzvah, that they were doing something wrong. Why? Because the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So Lechem Mishnah says if we have explicit Gemaras in Beitza and in Shabbos that the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so then that showed the Rambam that apparently in this case we paskin like Rabbi Yishmael against Rabbi Akiva when it comes to Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. But when it comes to the other parts of Rabbi Yishmael's drasha, Shabbos and Yontif, so there we should revert back to the general principle that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Yishmael, and therefore there's no drasha to include Tosefes for Shabbos and Yontif. So while that works, it's also a little bit difficult, because basically the Rambam is splitting a psak, right? He's saying, I'm going to take some of Rabbi Yishmael's braisa, but not the whole thing. That's a little bit difficult. Moshe.
Yeah, this is actually what I was trying to refer to. I don't really get this part. I mean, I kind of agree with the Rambam, because I don't get the second part of his psak. Because he's saying that we learn from V'initem es nafsho seichem, right? That's how we learn Tosef es Yom HaKippurim. So we know about fasting, but then he applies that to Yom Tov and Shabbos, to
right.
The same Allah. So he's kind of taking fasting and applying it to the malacha, which, like, I could see why the Rambam gets split at that. He's saying, like, okay, I'm going to take the fasting part, but it's from malacha, it's kind of unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
From the pasuk, at least.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that maybe the drasha, the oraisa of Rabbi Ishmael was the ve'inisem, and that's specifically for the inui. But when he extends that to a totally different iser, namely the iser malacha for Shabbos and Yontif, that maybe is only like an asmachta, as midrabanan, something like that.
Like at best, I don't see how he could apply it to the iser malacha otherwise.
Right, unless the drush of Tish B'su Shabbatchem, right, basically, the Tish B'su Shabbatchem is about Malacha. Those words appear in a pasuk that's talking about Tosefes. So you extend Tosefes from V'inisem to Tish B'su and Shabbatchem.
Right, but the very beginning is like, how do we know that you're supposed to add on to the Kodesh? And he said,
"Nafka lemi d'tanya v'nisa nafshos." Right, so that teaches you the Tosefas for Yom Kippur.
Right, and then how do you get to Shabbos in Yom Kippur?
Because of the words Tish B'su Shabbatchem, which are talking about malacha.
Right, it's a whole different pasuk.
Well, it's the same pasuk, it's just the end.
Right, but I'm saying it's like a different idea.
Right. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, so that's a Lechem Mishnah suggestion. Maybe in light of what Moshe is saying, we can understand better another suggestion, which is a suggestion of the Rashash. This is fascinating, okay? The Gemara in source number 10, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Ches, has an interesting drasha, where the Torah uses the language Ha-Ezrach. The Pasuk is, just give me a second. I want to quote it incorrectly. Okay, so the pasuk says in Parshas Hachri Mos, "V'chol malacha lo sa'asu ha'ezrach v'hager hagar b'sochichem," and that's talking about doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Okay, so the Gemara darshins from ha'ezrach that even women are obligated in the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay, ha'ezrach comes to teach you that all citizens, not only men, all citizens, even women, are obligated in the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, of adding on to Yom Kippur. And to be clear, the Gemara there doesn't say the words Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It actually says Shechayavos bi'inui, Tosefes inui. It doesn't say Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, it says Tosefes inui, specifically the Tosefes of adding on to the fast. Okay, so one of the Achronim, the Rashash, in source number 11, infers from there that maybe this is the source for the Rambam. Wow. Why? Because the Rambam saw here, let's read the Rashash inside. Okay, number 11. Lo yadati madua lo ka'amar gam kein b'malacha. Why did the Gemara single out Tosefes Inui? Why didn't it also talk about Tosefes Malacha? The Hagam Tosefta imut biyuma me'onesh o me'azhara. The Gemara Yuma Pei Aleph it tells us that Tosefes Malacha is treated the same way as Tosefes Inui. V'ha'ezrach samech tfei l'cho malacha lo sa'asu. And in addition to that, this drasha of ha'ezrach, which comes to include women, is in the context of malacha. It's not even in the context of Inui. V'ulai mizeh yotza lo l'harambam de Tosefes Malacha ina medivrei Torah af le'anoshim. Ayin be parak aleph mehilchos shvisas aser halacha vav uvenose kelim baruka. Wow, says the Rashash. Why did the Gemara in Sukkah single out Tosefes Inui, additional fasting? Maybe this is the source for the Rambam that only additional fasting is what is obligatory midda oraisa, and that's why the Gemara in Sukkah talked only about Tosefes Inui, but not about Tosefes Malacha. It's interesting also that the Gemaras that I quoted to you before, Beitza and Shabbos, where it talks about women who would eat all the way up until the fast, and they wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, even though they should have. So the case is specifically that they were eating all the way up until to the fast, right? It doesn't say that they were doing malacha. It has a problem with the fact that they were eating all the way up until Yom Kippur. So again, so we have indications from a number of sugyas, and especially the sugya in Sukkah, that the concept of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is related specifically to Inui, and that's how the Rashash says that maybe that's the source for the Rambam. That even though the sources in Yuma and in Rosh Hashanah, they seem not to suggest like what the Rambam says, that we should split Inui from Malacha. If we take a global look at the sugyas in Shas, so what emerges is that perhaps only Tosefes Inui is a mitzvah de'oraisa. Everybody cop that? Okay. So now what we have left to discuss is what would be the reason to distinguish between Inui and Malacha? Yeah? What would be the reason to do that? Why would I say that Tosefes applies only to the fast, but not to the Malacha of Yom Kippur? Why would I split it? So you might say it like this. And I heard of Rosenzweig, you know, go through this analysis as well. You might say that maybe the day of Yom Kippur has two facets to it. You could almost say it has like two kiddushos to it. There's Yom Kippur with respect to Malacha, and there's Yom Kippur with respect to the fast. And it's kind of like 2 days that coincide. Yeah? And if that's the case, then maybe we could say that we should extend one, but not the other one. The Yom Kippur, the fast Yom Kippur, that should be extended. The Malacha Yom Kippur, that shouldn't be extended. That's one way that you could formulate it. But the problem is, Chevra, that there are many indications in the Rambam that these two elements are intertwined. That you can't say that Yom Kippur is really like 2 days that overlap. It's like Yom Kippur of Malacha and Yom Kippur of fasting, and that they coincide. No, it's all one mesh. It's all one picture. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig explained that Malacha and fasting on Yom Kippur are two sides of the same coin, and especially according to the Rambam. And what is that? The idea of fasting on Yom Kippur, and so too the idea of not doing on Malacha on Yom Kippur, is the idea of withdrawing from the physical world. The idea of Yom Kippur is to focus solely on one's religious prospects, to focus only on one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense, we withdraw from the physical world because it's ki'ilu we're living in the solely spiritual world, right? That's why, for example, you know, there's a lot of halachic, you know, indications of this, but just to really hit the point home, we know that on Yom Kippur, we act, you know, like malachim, right? We say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Sol Yolam Voed out loud when we say Kriya Shema, which we don't do the rest of the year. And that's because we treat ourselves like the malachim who say Baruch Shem. Yeah? Why are we treating ourselves like malachim? For this very reason. Because the whole mechayiv of Yom Kippur, the whole idea of Yom Kippur, is to withdraw from the world, to withdraw from the physical world, and focus solely on the spiritual world, to focus solely on one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That being the case, that's why we don't eat. Right? So, for example, to demonstrate the point a little bit more deeply. There are 2 days on the calendar that have the same exact fast. What are they? Yom Kippur and? New?
Tisha B'Av,
yeah? But the reason why we have a fast on each of those days is different. The fast on Tisha B'Av is why? Because of Avelus. Because we're so full with sorrow over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that we can't bring ourselves to eat. Yeah? The fast of Yom HaKippurim has nothing to do with Avelus. It has everything to do with what the Rambam calls Shvisa. Shvisas Asur. Resting. Withdrawing. Pulling away from physicality. And so too Malacha. Malacha also is withdrawing from the physical world, from the world of productivity. Yeah? So they're two sides of the same coin, Malacha and Inui. And if that's the case, Brian, then you can't tell me that, oh, you should split them. And it's like there's two Yom Kippurs that overlap. There's the Yom Kippur of Inui, of fasting, and there's the Yom Kippur of Malacha. No, it's all the same idea. And if that's the case, then Hadra Kushya L'Duchta, the question re-arises, Dahainu, why would the Rambam make this split between Inui and Malacha? So I want to suggest two possibilities. The first possibility, and I heard this also from Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, is that maybe the Rambam adopts the approach of Tosefes that we're not extending the Kiddushas Hayom. If I were extending Yom Kippur onto the 9th, then that would carry with it a package deal. It would be both Inui and Malacha, because if it's Yom Kippur, then you have both. But no, the Rambam holds that the idea of Tosefes is not extending Yom Kippur. The idea is practicing one of the dinim of Yom Kippur on the 9th. Now, the Rambam says that the Torah is megaleh, the Torah is mechadesh, that idea only with respect to Inui. Because it says, v'inisem es nafsho seichem b'sisha l'chodesh. Only Inui needs to be practiced on the 9th. Why that's the case probably deserves some more analysis. Okay? That would be one possibility. And by the way, one thing that would fit nicely with that is if the Rambam holds that the idea of Tosefes applies also to the fast of Tisha B'Av, which the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Tainus, if you jump down to source number 15. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Tainus says that not only should you extend the fast of Yom Kippur, but you should extend the fast of Tisha B'Av. Now, there's no Kiddushas Hayom to Tisha B'Av. It's not a Kiddushas Hayom like Yom Kippur. Right? It's not one of the Moadim. Yeah? So would it make sense to talk about having Tosefes for Tisha B'Av if Tosefes were all about extending the sanctity of the day? The only way to explain the Tosefes of Tisha B'Av is to say that you're taking a din of Tisha B'Av, in this case the fast, and saying that you should apply it even earlier on. Maybe the reason why would be to, because of the whole Safik idea. Because we're generally accustomed to eating and drinking every single day. That's the most normal of human activities. To make sure that we don't do that on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we stop a little bit early. That would be the idea, maybe. Yeah? I'm wanted to suggest one more idea. Okay, one more idea. And this is based on a piece in the Sefer Mishnah Siyavitz of Rav Bezalel Zsolti. I've quoted him sometimes in Shir in the past. So Rav Zsolti has a very interesting distinction between the fast and malacha. He says that malacha, what's the Isser malacha is, it exists at every moment. And not only that does it exist at every moment, but it renews every moment. Right, so every moment of Yom Kippur has an Isser Malacha. So therefore, if I violate a Malacha, that doesn't mean that for the rest of Yom Kippur I can also continue to violate Malacha, right? Because every moment there's a new Isser Malacha. At every moment there's such an Isser. But when it comes to the positive commandment to fast on Yom Kippur, says Rav Zsolti, he brings proof for it, that the idea of the positive commandment to fast on Yom Kippur is the day in its entirety, the holistic fast of Yom Kippur. It's fasting for those 25 hours. And if you're, for example, a chola she'yesh bo sakana, okay, you're in the hospital, you need to eat, and you eat on Yom Kippur, then there's also a negative commandment that you're not allowed to continue eating, and that's similar to the malacha that I just described. But the positive commandment is null and void, it's gone, once you've eaten on Yom Kippur. There's no fulfillment of that positive commandment by continuing to fast. You have to continue to fast, because there's also a negative commandment. But for the positive commandment, you're not fulfilling it at all. Why, says Rav Zsolti? Because the whole idea of the positive, the inisem es nafsho seichem, the positive inui, the positive withdrawal, is that that has to be done for the entire unit of time. It's not something that renews at each moment. It spans a whole unit. It has an integrity to it. So says Rav Zsolti, when we talk about the idea of Tosefes, of extension, of addition, you can extend a period of time, but you can't extend a din that applies to every moment. Because what does that mean? It's not niton, it's not subject to extension. Only something that has breath is subject to extension. So since the positive commandment of fasting is this, or it spans this unit of time of Yom Kippur, therefore it is subject to extension. But the Isser Malacha, which renews at every moment, doesn't have breath, is not subject to extension. Therefore, says the Rambam, the din of Tosefes applies only to the fast, but not to the Malacha. Very interesting Chiddush. Now, based on that, kind of closely related to that, I wanted to suggest, I'm not sure about this. I think more has to be done to see if this is the case. But I think it would be interesting if, even if we accept, Rav Rosenzweig's approach, which is definitely the case in the Rambam, that the Malacha and the fast are two sides of the same coin, it might be interesting if the fast still carries a unique significance. In the sense that the fast is the paradigmatic representation or highlighting of the idea that we're withdrawing from the world, from the physical world on Yom Kippur. Because the Malacha, right, the prohibition of Malacha, while it does that, the prohibition of Malacha applies in other contexts as well, right? It also applies to Shabbos and to Yontif. For different reasons, maybe not for the same reason, but it does apply on other days. Whereas the fast is solely, it's completely limited to, it's unique to Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to any other day. So the fast may be the best representation of the idea that we're trying to withdraw from the physical world, of the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur, of what Yom Kippur is all about. And since the fast is the best representation of what Yom Kippur is all about, so then when we ask ourselves what component of Yom Kippur needs to be extended so that we reflect that we are initiating the whole idea of Yom Kippur, the fast. And that would explain the Rambam. That would be to say that we extend the fast in particular because it's the fast that represents what Yom Kippur is all about, and the Tosefes is our role in initiating what Yom Kippur is all about. In Achinami, that Malacha also does that, but since it also Malacha applies to other days as well, it doesn't do that in as unique of a way. The fast is unique to Yom Kippur, it doesn't apply to any other day, and therefore it epitomizes what Yom Kippur is about even more so than the Isser Malacha. Just a suggestion, a speculation, if you'd like to say. But either way, what comes out of this sugya is not only kernels of how to understand Tosefes, but also the relationship of Tosefes to the components of Yom HaKippurim, the components of Inui and of Malacha, and this Yesod that we quoted from Rav Rosenzweig, that Inui and Malacha and Yom Kippur really are two sides of the same coin, and really impress upon us the need to withdraw from the physical world of productivity and dedicate ourselves completely just to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day of Yom Kippur. So in that light, I wish everybody a good Yontif, a Gemar Chasima Tova, and Hatzlacha Rabba with fulfilling the mission of Yom HaKippurim this year, Tavshin Pei Aleph.